Chapter 4. The first thing Ben Salter sensed was the vague odor of car exhaust. Then there was the pain. He felt as if he'd been rolled down an endless flight of stairs. He was conscious of the full body soreness even before he opened his eyes and realized the hurt meant he was still alive. Martina, where was Martina? Was she safe? Was she... The car hit a bump, and he thought his head would split open. He howled in agony, and from the suffocating fear for himself, but especially for Martina. He tried remembering what had happened, tried piecing it together, but after he'd knelt down at the side of the bed, it was all a jumble. Blinding tears poured out of his eyes. He tried moving his hands to hold his head, to wipe away the tears, but he might as well have tried wishing himself to Oz. His hands were cuffed behind his back, the metal bracelets too tight, cutting into the skin of his wrists. It didn't help that his ankles were bound with rope, and that the rope was looped around the handcuffs. When he pulled his legs down to gauge if there was any slack in the rope, he felt like his wrists would snap off, and the cuffs chewed more deeply into his flesh. It was no good. Another pothole. For a brief second, Ben Salter was weightless. Then he fell to earth, his head smacking down on the cold metal of the carpetless trunk. His body stiffened, and he was completely consumed by pain. When the jolt of it eased, the fear returned. The fear for himself and the panic over Martina. She had to be all right. Obviously, the guy in black had come for him. He really hadn't seemed interested in Martina at all. Maybe he'd tied her up as he was tied up. Sure, that was it. He'd tied her up and shoved her under the bed or put her into a closet. She'd be a little worse for wear, but someone would find her soon enough. Ben's dad and uncle kept the property impeccably maintained. Gardeners and handymen were stopping by all the time. She'd be okay. She'd be okay. She'd be okay. He kept silently repeating it as if it was a prayer. Maybe it was. At least he hadn't been gagged. He took a deep gulp of air and screamed, "Help me!" Only it wasn't much of a scream. His throat was so dry with panic that it came out flat and brittle, barely loud enough to hear above the road and engine noise. It also sent a fresh wave of pain through his head. He weathered the pain, forced himself to relax, willing his mouth to moisten, letting some saliva drip down to lubricate his throat. He tried it again. "Help me! Somebody help me!" Better. He collected himself again. "Help me! Help! Some nuts got me trapped in here! Help!" Better, much better. He repeated the process over and over again until there was nothing left of his voice, and the pain in his head demanded he stop. He was spent and felt himself slipping into unconsciousness. As his eyes were fluttering shut, the car jerked to a stop. Ben's panic was reborn, and the shelter of unconsciousness was suddenly lost to him. Panic seemed to be the only thing in his universe of which there was an infinite supply. The trunk latch released with a telltale click. The trunk lid popped open a few inches, and night rushed in. With it came the strong, salt smell of the sea, and a final acrid whiff of tailpipe fumes. The car swayed on its suspension. A car door slammed. Footsteps came his way. The trunk lid was raised up. The shark-eyed gunman loomed above Ben.
"Where's Martina? Is she safe?"
Ben asked, his voice a dry, cracked whisper. The gunman's mouth formed itself into a cruel half-smile. He slowly shook his head from side to side as he placed the stun gun to Ben's neck once again. Ben Salter understood his captor's silent message. Ben's silent prayer would go unanswered. Martina was dead. With the fervor of a martyr, Ben retreated into another world of muscle spasms and guilt.